Welcome back to Matt from Directly on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to say a little something about Forever Chemicals. They're spreading in Wisconsin. We've talked about this on the show before. But there is a, I want to get a little quick deeper into it, and also a very disturbing aspect of the regulation of it. Now, we say Forever Chemicals. These are perin polyfluoroalkyl substances. They have a strong carbon fluorine bond. They don't break down naturally. They don't break down naturally, just like plastic doesn't break down naturally. So what kind of regulation is there federally or statewide as a class for these? The answer is none. Zero. Zero. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that the regulation as it exists is very limited, and you have to identify the exact chemical compound of these forever chemicals that you're talking about. Let me give you an analogy. Let's say instead of saying that you can't drink and drive, you can't use alcohol and be, you know, over 0.08%, let's say they said you can't drink scotch, bourbon, and rum and be over 0.08%, but you can drink anything else and be over 0.08%. So you get pulled over, and the cop says, well, you're drinking, you say bourbon. And he looks at the list, and he says, well, that isn't scotch and rum. Or let's say you say beer. Or let's say some guy lies to him, says it's another alcohol-type beverage. Or let's just say he says, I invoke my right to remain silent. You go ahead and prove what I was doing. And you have to prove that he drank one of three drinks when there are hundreds and more alcoholic drinks he could have drunk. You couldn't enforce your drunk driving laws. Well, this is a lot more serious, a lot more serious. There are thousands of people in Wisconsin who are drinking forever chemicals in their drinking water. They don't break down naturally. They've contaminated drinking water in Marinette, Peshtigo, Campbell, French Island. That's over near La Crosse, Madison, Eau Claire. And it's spreading. And every time the DNR tries to regulate any of them, and they're not even trying to regulate the whole class right now, any of them, Voss shut them down and said, under the lame duck laws that we passed back when Evers won the governorship to take a lot of his powers away from him. So I'm really the acting governor, me, Voss, even though I never got a vote to be governor. Supreme Court 4-3 upheld that. Voss goes, okay, you have to have my permission, i.e. the Republicans in the, and we'll get to it. They always say, we'll get to it. Then they put it on a calendar and keep delaying it because their donors don't want it. That's what's going on. That is flat out what's going on. Flat out what's going on. Now, what are the consequences of these forever chemicals? And I mean all of them, not the one or two compounds that they identify and try to regulate. I mean all of them. Well, here's some of them. Birth defects, a number of cancers, including kidney cancer and testicular cancer, thyroid disorders, and other things. Birth defects, pregnant women, you know, I mean, you remember the old thalidomide cases? You probably don't. It's back in the 60s. Sweden manufactured a drug that was supposed to control nausea in women who were pregnant. They took it. And their babies were born without fingers and toes or one leg and that kind of thing. It was terrible, terrible. Well, you drink forever chemicals, and it, so far it hasn't been as bad as that, but there can be birth defects. How about kidney cancer? You get kidney cancer, can kill you unless they get to it right away. And then they take your kidney out. You find a donor. Good luck. Testicular cancer, that can kill you easily. And if it doesn't, you don't want them removed, believe me. And thyroid disorders, this is bad news. It's bad stuff. Very bad stuff. So nobody is doing anything about this. The DNR is, the Democratic Party is, the Republican Party is blocking it. How about at the federal level? The federal level, the EPA now under Biden, is moving to do something about it. It got squashed under Trump. got squashed under Trump. Biden's moving to do something about it, the EPA. But the EPA has procedures, and if they're not followed, Republicans run in and shut it down in the U.S. Supreme Court. So they have to follow the procedures. How long do you think it takes for them to study some of these chemicals, individual chemicals, to go through the protocols, the testing, and issue a definitive opinion that the Supreme Court upheld? You know how long it takes? 4 years. 4 years. You know how many compounds there are of these PFASs? A lot, quite a few. And right now, they're not regulated as a class. I'm going to throw something very controversial out there. I'm going to go, okay, look, why don't we regulate the class like alcohol? You can't drive if you are over 0.08 in alcohol. And one of the dirty little secrets for people out there, and the only people who really know this are criminal defense lawyers, are if you have any alcohol in you and they say it impaired your driving, they can arrest you. I mean, any alcohol. So when you're under 0.08, anything, they normally don't unless they want to get you. But 0.08 is like the cliff effect. Then they prove that, they don't have to prove anything else. That's why over in Europe, we were in Dublin with some friends and met them at a restaurant, several couples that my wife and I know, friends of ours. And after dinner, they go to call a cab. I said, wait a minute, what do you mean call a cab? They said, well, we had a glass of wine at dinner. I said, yeah. I said, well, if you get picked up here in Europe, anywhere in Europe, you're going to go to jail for at least a year right away. So I said, well, how'd you get down to the restaurant? They said, we drove. Well, what about your car? We're going to leave it here overnight. And tomorrow we'll come back and get it. That's the way they handle it over there. Well, in this state, in this country, they don't. But the fact is, there are drunk driving laws. And they don't say, we're only going to enforce them for scotch, rum, and margaritas, and anything else you drink is fine. They don't say that. That would be crazy to say. Because no one admit to drinking scotch, rum, and margaritas. They'd all say it was bourbon and wine, something else. Beer is what they'd say. And they'd sneak away. That is what is happening with forever chemicals, believe it or not. And none of them break down naturally. But to ban them as a class, they're used in a lot of different products, a lot of different plastic type products. And secondly, the way to control it very likely is control their discharge into the environment in the production process. And right now they're going right in the groundwater. They're in Green Bay. They're in Green Bay. Guess what? If they're in Green Bay, they're going into Lake Michigan. Guess what? If they're in Lake Michigan, they're going to go into the other Great Lakes. And guess what? We're not the only state that uses PFAS. Cleveland does, and a lot of, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, there wasn't even an EPA until 1970. You know, put it in was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon founded the EPA. Before that, people were pouring cyanide in streams. They didn't care. They didn't care. We've cleaned it up a great deal. But when Trump got in, it went the other way. When George W. Bush went in, it went the other way. Under Clinton, under Obama, now under Biden, it's going to go the right way. But this is a very, very easy, shouldn't be controversial idea. If you're going to say to somebody, don't drink and drive, you shouldn't have to prove what drink he had. You shouldn't have to prove what drink he had. But right now, with PFAS, you do. And the standards for even the ones they've studied are very, very minimal and sad, very sad and minimal, very sad and minimal. Out in California, Gavin Newsom is subject to a recall election on September 14. It's largely his own fault. He's a darn good governor, a Democrat. The Republicans are loaded for bear. They want to take him out. They're saying it's because he wanted masks and people vaccinated and social distancing. And he went to a restaurant for a friend's birthday party one time, and they got pictures of that and said he's a hypocrite, so the hell with him, let's get him out. Put a right-wing nut in there who won't ask for vaccinations and masks. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Anyway, it's September 14, and here are the two mistakes he made. One of the mistakes he made was the people that had the petitions did not get him in time. They didn't get him in time. That is against the law. That should have been the end of it. He doesn't even object, doesn't even send a lawyer to the hearing. Lawyer goes, okay, there's nobody here for Gavin Newsom. Okay, you got another 30, 60, 90 days. Secondly, they forget to say he's a Democrat on the ballot. He forgets to put that in. He forgets to put it in. He forgets to put it in. We're going right to the lines. Randy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Randy?
Good morning, Matt. When you're talking about the capitulation of the woman in Arizona, I believe, right. It makes me think, I see a lot of parallels between the last 4 years and the McCarthy era. Some huge differences, of course, but like you say, quite a few parallels. And when McCarthy got rebuked, by Joseph Welch, at long last, have you no decency, he was dead in the water. Nobody was following him. And several Republicans went on record as saying they were glad that he was out of the picture. They were just getting sick of his drunken ranting, intimidation methods, bullying. And I'm just a little flummoxed or, well, perplexed, let's say, by the fact that now it seems like the whole Republican Party, with a few exceptions, are caving into this guy who is an emperor who doesn't have any new clothes.
Right.
And I'm wondering what the difference is.
You know, that's an excellent question. I was a law clerk to Judge Thomas Fairchild, one of the great judges in Wisconsin history, and he was McCarthy's opponent in 1952 for the Senate. He was the Democratic nominee, Thomas E. Fairchild, wonderful man. And I talked to him about that. And he said that, you know, there was something that was exceptionally naive and not as violent as Trump is. He died before Trump came along, but McCarthy would get up in front of a crowd and the reporters were there and he'd say, look at those reporters. They're communists. You know, they're against the government, and just lambast them and everybody's hissing at him. Then he'd jump off the stage and go up to him and say, how did I do, boys? How did I do, boys? Expecting that they'd write a good story about him. I think that people looked on McCarthy and saw that deep down inside there was a naivete and a vulnerability, and they could get away with standing up to him. Trump has advocated violence. Trump said, you know, the Second Amendment people should take care of Hillary Clinton. Her bodyguard should be disarmed. There's an air of violence in the air. Air of violence. Take a look at January 6th. So I like the deep history you bring to this, Randy. Appreciate it very much. And that's one observation that I have from having been the law clerk in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals for Judge Thomas Fairchild, his opponent. Thanks very much for calling in. When we break, the lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
She got down, but she never got touch. It's gonna make it through.